God is good. Amen. Welcome to Sunday school. Are y'all ready? Do you have your seatbelts on? All right. Y'all remember what we've been studying? Fruit of the Spirit. All right. It matters where you're planted, right? It matters where you're planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So it matters. It matters where my root system is. And then where my root system is, I can get the nourishment to put off the fruit that God has for me. And I promise I'll try to keep the mic up to my mouth for those who have trouble hearing me. I think the Lord's just testing y'all's patience, because after y'all came to me and said, hey, we can't hear you, the Lord decided to mess with my voice. So maybe he's working on me as much as he's working on y'all. So today I want to go into the next fruit that we talked about, that we've been talking about, of the fruit of the Spirit. And in the busyness of life, me and Brother Brent were on a 20-inch water main break until after almost 2 a.m. I got the call about 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and we didn't finish till 2 a.m. So, and we just got a phone call that we have another leak. So, in the busyness of life, while I was waiting on parts, I sat down on the excavator, and I began to try to put something together. And I asked the Lord what to put together, and I began to write some things. And then a little while later, Brother Josh texted me and said, hey, do you have a thought? And I had already had it written down, thank the Lord. And I'm going to run with this. It's been the Lord's been working on me this morning. And we're going to move into gentleness. Now, if I was to title this, it would be The Strong Hand of Gentleness. So we're talking about the fruit of gentleness. And I was really taken back at some of the depth of the gentleness that I found. Gentleness is a disposition to be gentle, soft-spoken, kind, even-tempered, cultured, and refined in character and conduct. The quality of being gentle, or mildness, tenderness, and softness, according to Webster. Gentleness is, in fact, a strong hand with a soft touch. Think about this. My daughters used to come up and squeeze my hand, and they would squeeze it as hard as they could to try to see if they could get a reaction out of me. And then they would say, Daddy, squeeze my hand. And so I have a strong hand compared to them. And in that strong hand, I must learn to be gentle. So I would squeeze their hand, but I wouldn't hurt them. Do you understand? And so in that is just the root of what gentleness is. The ability to have strength, but the thought process and the ability to not apply all of the force that you could. And so I'm going to go into Psalm. The psalmist, I'm taking back as much information that I found. It all drew me back to David. The psalmist in chapter 18, verse 40. I'm going to go with verse 30. Sorry. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. There's a greatness in gentleness. It's the strong hand, not the weak one, that must learn to be gentle. So, since I'm talking about David, anybody got a thought of a quality of David, that just something that you liked about David, if you've ever studied David? Anybody? Just say it out loud. Quick to repent. That's good. I like it. Anybody? Huh? David's faith. Anybody else? Long for God's presence. Good. Anybody? There's no wrong answers. Why is all the only the women talking? His love for God. David said that the gentleness of God hath made me great. The gentleness of God. And so in studying, I went into a little bit of David. So we might remember David as the sweet psalmist of Israel, according to 2 Samuel 23:1. Brother Josh, I didn't give you these verses. I'm just going to run through them. 2 Samuel 23:1. We forget he was a fearless, strong, and skilled man of war. And at the end of his life, gives a full picture of David than just a simple songwriter. When David's son Absalom rebels against his father and marches to Jerusalem and sends David momentarily retreating, David's friend Hushai plays loyal to Absalom in order to defeat the rebel council. As he makes his case, which carries the day, he characterized David in these terms according to 2 Samuel 17:8. You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is an expert in war. He warns them, not just men, but David himself is mighty and an expert in war. This wasn't new. When we first meet David, even before Goliath, he is introduced as a man of valor and a man of war. Behold, I have seen, according to 1 Samuel 16:18, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skilled in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. In the following chapter, the Goliath account, or what we call the Goliath account, we learn that David has already killed lions and bears, according to 1 Samuel 17:34 through 36. He has the courage to face the giant and the skill to conquer him. And although still a young person, a still young man, David is strong enough to take Goliath's massive sword, draw it from its sheath, and take the head off of the giant. Soon after, the imposing Saul, who stood head and shoulders above the rest, would hear his people sing of David's strength. Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. So what made him great? What made David great? Psalmist 18 again says, David wrote in praise of God's lifelong deliverance. He celebrates the physical strength and ability that God had given him and honed in his anointing. David can run against a troop, according to Psalms 18:29, and leap over a wall. He said that God equipped me with strength and made my feet like the feet of a deer. Psalm 18:33. God trains my hands for war, making his arms strong enough to bend a bow of bronze. according to 1834. And yet right here, in that verse that I started off with, David celebrates the passing quality of gentleness. Strength and skill may have made him a good warrior and a good king, but it was God's gentleness that made David great. So both strong and gentle, David knows when to yield his strength and when to walk in gentleness. Strength, valor, and experience made David the expert in war, but it was God's gentleness, which David learned firsthand, that made David great. Not only had the omnipotent God been gentle with his anointed, in his finitude and many failings, God's gentleness had come to characterize David's leadership. There's a man named Derek Kidner that comments, "Well, it was the gentleness of God that allowed David his success. It was the gentleness God taught him, that was his true gentleness." And we need to be open-minded. Our hearts need to be open to be taught of God gentleness. I know that there's times that it is hard to be gentle. I mean, Brother Aaron, sitting there next to Chrissy, I'm telling you, I can only imagine how gentle you have to, train yourself to be. Dealing with somebody, and I'm just messing with Chrissy. But God does. With an open heart and an open mind, God trains us to be gentle, Brother Jerry. If anybody knows Brother Jerry, I can tell you right now, he looks like a big old bear. And he makes you think he hates everybody. But there's a gentleness there. And everybody here knows it. So where do we see this greatness in David? When did David add the surpassing virtue of gentleness to the value ability of his strength? Psalm 18 appears in 2 Samuel 22 at the culmination of the book. And the two keys mentions of David's gentleness earlier in the story set up the climatic lesson of this. He was gentle with his enemies. After the death of Saul, David's commander, Joab, avenges the personal loss of his own brother. Saul's commander, Abner, had struck down Joab's brother, Asahel, if I said that correctly, after he had pursued Abner after battle. Abner had warned him to turn aside, and Asahel would not, and Abner struck him down. A long war between the house of Saul and the house of David followed, and with David growing stronger and stronger while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. In time, Abner sought peace with David and delivered the rest of the kingdom to David. They feasted together, and David sent Abner away in peace. But Joab then drew Abner aside under the pretense of peace. I want y'all to get that. Joab drew Abner aside under the pretense of peace to speak with him privately, and there he killed him for the blood of his brother. The contrast between David and Joab is stark. Both can be fearsome in battle. Both were strong. Both were brave, and both were experts in war. But Joab, while an asset in war, was limited in peace. He was limited in gentleness. Joab's unrighteous killing of Abner threatens the consolidation of the nation under David's rule. So David then publicly mourns the death of Abner so that all the people of Israel understood that it had not been the king's will to put Abner to death. David speaks to his servants in 2 Samuel 3:37, and to make this clear difference from Joab, the son of Zeruiah. "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness," according to 2 Samuel 3:38 and 39. David was gentle with his enemies. David was even gentle to a traitor. Near the end of David's reign, when Absalom had rebelled against him, David sends Joab and the army out against Absalom with specific instructions, keeping his pattern of exercising strength and adding to it the virtue of gentleness. David orders Joab in the presence of many witnesses, according to 2 Samuel 18:5, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Some commentators see this as a weakness in David. Others see this as something that made him great. The instructions we can all agree on were consistent with David's treatment of all his enemies. He had treated Saul well and had just recently restrained Abishai from cutting down Shimei. He knew what Joab was capable of, and he wanted all his men to know that he treated his enemies with kindness and compassion. David's behavior in the Old Testament gives a parallel illustration of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament about loving your enemies. Joab, of course, defies David's will and kills Absalom. Again, scenting the difference between the two men. Both are strong, but only one is considered great. And that greatness is through gentleness. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, add the virtue of gentleness to your life. Be willing to listen to what God has to say about gentleness. Joab is the one-dimensional man of war, strong, tenacious, courageous in battle, a hero in combat. Yet his manhood is immature and incomplete, a liability at home and in peacetime. Joe is unable to cushion his strength and control his tenacity. He has no control. Yeah, he's all of these great things that we think men of war should be, but he lacks gentleness, and in that sense, he loses out on greatness. David, on the other hand, is masculine. He's mature. He's learned gentleness. Gentleness doesn't just come to every one of us. It's a learned behavior. We have to learn. You do not know how many times that I talked to my pastor about things that I was going through with my dad back when I was a lot younger. About teaching how to respond instead of react. Reaction is explosive, right? Reaction is like TNT, but response takes on a whole different meaning. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, right? So it's this gentleness that God is trying to teach you and teach me so we can be great for the kingdom of God. David's abilities are multidimensional. He can lead a nation, not just an army. David can lead an army. Sorry, took the Mac away from my mic. Huh? Sister Riley over here looking at me crazy. David can lead an army, but he can lead a nation. Both strong and gentle, he knows when to yield his strength and when to restrain and walk in gentleness. Gentleness is not the absence of strength. This is a huge quote, and I'm probably going to save this when it came up in my studies. Gentleness is not the absence of strength, but the addition of virtue. When the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos caught a glimpse of the glory of Christ, he witnessed masculinity, complete in power and grace. In Jesus, he sought not only a man, but the Almighty, according to Revelations 1:8. John says, his voice was like the roaring of many waters, and his face like the sun shining at full strength. This is John. This is Revelations 1, 15 and 16. Later, John sees this lion of a man sitting on a white horse as one who judges and makes war, according to Revelations 19, 11. John continues, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, which is to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the wine presses of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, according to Revelations 19, 15. Yet when the apostle looked between the angels and the throne of heaven, he also saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, according to Revelations 5, 6. An inspiring, in God's awe-inspiring, majestic strength, he was truly great as the atoning sacrifice for the sin of his people. He was strong and mighty. The Lord could have come down off of that cross that day. The Bible says he could have called thousands of, ten thousands of his angels. And yet in his strength, or in his weakness, even though he had the ability, he was great because he was gentle. He was gentle towards us. I deserved that cross. I deserved the things that he went through, not him. But because of that gentleness, that hand of gentleness, we have redemption's plan today for our lives. Jesus' gentleness cushions the application of his great power. But there's a flip side. I want to just hit on this for just a second. But in his gentleness, he is not weak. Gentle is not code for weak. Gentleness is not the absence of strength, again, but the addition of virtue. I'm so thankful that God was gentle towards me. And so in that, I want to learn, Lord, help me to be gentle. I could be wrathful. I could be hateful. I could be mean. I could be strong. But in all of those things, I want to be gentle. Wisdom, James, Brother Josh, wisdom from above is gentle. James 3, 11 through 18. Can you jump back to 11 for me? I put it in here for a reason. I might have made a mistake, but just in case. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree... Well, we're talking about the fruit, so that's probably why I did it. My brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There is something about gentleness that we need to make sure we have in our lives. Paul used gentleness to appeal to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, beseech you, my by my meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. This gentleness is Greek, and I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly. Epikai. And whenever I looked up this Greek word, gentleness, that Paul uses in Corinthians, in James 3, it's epikai, or epikes, actually, and it means mild and patient. And that was in James. So when I fast forwarded to Corinthians, and I was reading it in Corinthians, and I looked up the Greek word epikai, it still has the same root meaning, but there was one word, and it was added, clemency. And clemency is the power to pardon or have mercy. So Paul used this teaching the church of Corinthians, a church that had the Holy Ghost, the church that had been built in Acts. And so the Corinthian church are going through all kinds of things, and so Paul's trying to teach them about gentleness. And he goes in and he says, man, I've come in, and go back to 10:1. He comes in and he says, again, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. That means I'm going to be gentle, but I'm not going to be weak. I've got something to tell you. We as people are to exhibit, godly people are to exhibit gentleness. Ministers are to exhibit gentleness. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Again, this one's a Greek word of epios or epios. And the added word in this one, again, same root word of mild, patient, gentle, meekness. But this is added a fable, A-F-F-A-B-L-E, a fable, which is easy to talk to. But we are gentle among you, even as a nurse cherish her children. We as people need to be easy to talk to. How can I minister? I'm not talking about ministers behind the pulpit. I'm talking about you and your ministry and your life. How can I talk to somebody if I'm not easy to talk to in Walmart? Because the people of Walmart need Jesus. I knew Christy would laugh. But how? How do I go in there and show them gentleness? How do I show them kindness? How about your waiter or waitress? You've had a rough day. And they come up and they begin to give you your order, or and they take your order, and your drink's wrong. You got something floating in your water, and they come out and your food's wrong. And it's so easy to get frustrated and irritated and be like, you have one job, bring me water with just ice, no floaties. Or do I be gentle? And I say, look, you know what? They're probably having a bad day. And I take back the strength that I could be frustrated with them, and I add virtue into that, and I can say, hey, you know what? I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. You seem like you're having a frustrating day. How much easier it is to be gentle. I've been there. I was at the same table. I didn't do it, but I was at the same table and this was years and years and years ago, that they got a tip of 2 pennies because they just were failing on the job. And how the Lord really quickened me that day after we walked away from that table, of how they were frustrated and they were having a bad day, and that didn't help at all. This was way before, and I know y'all have been here for a while. Brother Crosswhite taught or spoke to us as a church about being godly, even in a restaurant. I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm following the Holy Ghost. This was way before then. God began to deal with me to tip good and leave a church card. It's important. It's important to be gentle. It's important in our daily lives that we add that virtue of gentleness. I mean, who's to know through your gentleness and through that fruit that's being partaken by somebody else sees your kindness, sees your gentleness, and says, something's different about them. I leave a church card. Talk to them about the Lord. I've gotten to where I just talk to them about the Lord. Church card's kind of passive, you know. Most of the time they put it in their wallet, throw it away, whatever. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But the devil's been on my heels the last few months, and I'm about tired of it. That's five, devil. I'm going to talk to somebody about God this week. I'm going to talk to more than one somebody about God this week. I'm going to reach souls. And the more he's on your heels, the more virtue and gentleness you have to reach souls. Gentleness is a beautiful word carrying a depth and an expression. Anybody can become furious. It is so easy, Sister Crosswhite, to get mad at Brother Crosswhite because he didn't do his laundry. See, I don't just pick on you, Brother Jerry. Anybody can get frustrated with anything. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to quit. It's easy to walk away. It's easy. That's the easy path. Get frustrated, irritated, and walk away. But how much more is it to end that frustration, find the virtue of gentleness, and go, you know what? Take a step back. My thought process when I think about gentleness is I'm going through life, and whenever I get busy, I don't like to be distracted. And gentleness is that thing that comes in that makes you slow down and stop. Because, man, I can be quick to react, Brother Neil. And I'm busy. I ain't got time for it. But that virtue of gentleness slows down and stops and says, hey, pause for a second. Brother Neil needed something. And that's just little stuff. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, waiters and waitresses and being gentle and having that good fruit of gentleness towards them. But what about family members? I got a reaction out of that.
Person and have rights to their emotions as I am. So I need to be great. gracious to them or to my brother and my father and my sister-in-law or, you know, those that are closest to me, I have to be mindful of how I respond to them and not just say, oh, well, it's fine. They're my closest relations. No, it's not. That's not okay. You're supposed to be just as much, if not more of a witness and more of an example to those that are closest to you than those that seem to best you out in public.
Truth. How easy it is for me to be frustrated and take it out on my children. There's been times that I've had to, and I don't know about you other parents, but I've had to walk away and go, you know what, I'll come back to this in a little while. Because when we and Anna first got married and we had Gloriana, we made a promise to each other that if I had to spank them, I would only give them 3 swats. I'm 100% believer in corporal punishment. You will get a spanking. And they weren't light until Ella came along. I mean, that was a heavy hand. I don't know if my arm got weaker or what. I don't know. But there's been times that as a dad, I got frustrated with the girls, and I would get on to them or I did spank them. And in doing so, later on, I found out that Gloriana wasn't as innocent as she thought, as she made out to be. She was kind of the instigator in it all. And so as a dad, I went back to my girls and I apologized. I'm just going to tell you as a parent, it is okay to look at your children and tell them I'm sorry. It is 100% okay to look at your children and go, I messed up. Because as a child, if I see my dad or my mom look at me and tell me that they messed up, that means that it just confirms something in me. That everybody messes up and we all deserve forgiveness. We all deserve gentleness. We all deserve kindness. We all deserve love. Let's just stick with the fruit. Patience, kindness, meekness. It's important that you, even with a strong hand, like a dad has to his child, it's important to know when to be a man of war and when to be a man of peace. When to hold that hand strong and when, even in gentleness, know. I can tell you, I know, even in gentleness, the ability of some people. I know they're gentle. I remember, my dad is a little bitty, skinny, frail man, but I do not want to be on the bad side of that guy. He's gentle, and the Holy Ghost has made him more gentle. But I know the other side. I'll close with a personal story. Me and my brother were in a fight. And we were in a fight. And in the midst of that fight, Dad broke it up. When Dad broke it up, I was still heated. And so, not realizing that it was Dad, my brain had not triggered, hey, Dad's breaking up the fight. I turned and I bowed up to Dad. It's the only time I've ever bowed up to a parent. 5 minutes later, I woke up on the other side of the living room. Him standing over me going, bet you don't do that again. But Dad's gentle. He can be strong when he wants to be strong, but he's also gentle. And that's the way the Lord is to us. That's the way the Lord is to us. There's a gentleness from God that he not only yields to us, but he also expects us to learn. And that's what made David great. David was great because of God's gentleness. David was strong. David was powerful. David was all of those things, a man of valor, strong at war, could lead an army, could lead a nation, was chosen of God, even in his mistakes. God chose gentleness. And therefore, I believe, Brother Crosswhite, you can come. And therefore, I believe. That's why the Lord said he was a man after his own heart. Because David had yielded and learned the virtue of that gentleness. Gentleness is not the absence of strength. It's the addition of virtue. Pastor.
We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit, because God transforms us when we yield to God. The fruit of gentleness. Isn't it amazing what God would do when you yield to him? When you see an apple, you know it's the product of something. And when you see somebody's a new creature in Christ and they yield the fruit of gentleness, you know God is at work. Amen. God bless you. We want to take a break. If you need to go to the restroom, get a drink of water. In our little recess time, we want you to greet somebody. We're so glad our guests are with us today. Amen. We're thankful for the help of the Lord and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you greet somebody today and just tell them how great God is in your life. God bless. We'll begin serving.